On this week's A Slice of Golf, lockdown is over, so we're talking through how we got on. Also, we're talking about winter rules. What would we employ at our dream golf club? If we had £100 to spend on golf, what would we spend it on for Christmas? And we come back on our £10 challenge and talk through what golf clubs we've bought for £10. This is A Slice of Golf. As ever, it's me, Tim Williams.
Me, Chris Wright.
And me, Ben Fowlis.
Right, welcome along to another episode of A Slice of Golf, the alternative view of golf for all the hackers, duffers, shankers out there along with us. I'm joined, as ever, by Chris and Ben. And great news, for the first time in a long time, we're able to play golf again, just in time for sub-zero temperatures, snow, rain, sleet, boggy fairways. So let's get straight into it. What have we been out doing? Who's been out? Who's been hitting golf? I'm assuming we've all hit golf balls. There's one person I know for a fact has been out, so I'm going to come to him first. Ben, how was your first round back after lockdown?
First round back was excellent. We went down to Bletchingley Golf Club the day
was before. Was it excellent? It was excellent to be back.
Beautiful. I mean, it was a beautiful day. There were four of us that went down there. We knew we were a little bit tight on time because we teed off at just after 12. Sunset was due to be at 4:15. And typically, first weekend post-lockdown, it was always going to be backed up. We were a four ball. There were four balls everywhere. And then we factor in that one of our mates is fairly new to the game. So that's always typically going to take a little bit longer. Yeah, could not have been better conditions for winter golf. Turns out, golf's quite hard if you have a month off. So, going back to last week, I know on last week's pod, I said I wouldn't bother with the range and I was going to go in cold. I went back to my parents for lockdown and I said that to my parents. And my mum looked at me straight away and was like, well, that's a mistake. You probably should go to the range. One, a bit of father-son bonding time. And two, she straight up said, well, you're going to be shit if you don't go and you're probably just going to have a talk. Thanks, mum.
She's not wrong. She's absolutely not wrong. So good advice there from Mum and Alice.
Turns out I shouldn't have bothered. I was shit anyway. I took 97 strokes for 26 points. And it was the first time I played off of 14 because of the new handicap system. First time I played off of 14 for probably about 18 months, I think. But the one saving grace is that I actually came tied for first. That's how bad the quality of the golf was in our group. No one broke 26 terrible, poor points. Had two of the best holes of golf I've ever had in my life. The rest was just a shit show. Missed a 10-foot putt for eagle. So literally had a 3-incher for birdie, which was nice. And then following hole, drive middle of the fairway, put the wedge shot to about 10 feet. And then obviously went chasing after back-to-back birdies, blazed it about, probably about 8 feet by, and then missed the comeback putt. So three putt bogey from 10 feet. And then from there, it started tailing away pretty terribly. And then final two holes. Well, final hole, we actually had to get the torches out on our phone because it was... The sun had well and truly set. The clubhouse at the golf had literally shut. All the lights were off. So we were putting in the dark, which was, it was good fun. It was great to be back. Going so on.
Tim and I, Tim and I have got a question for you.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah. Questions.
Questions, multiple questions. Which one shall I go with first? Front nine or back nine question?
I would like to ask the back nine question.
Okay, I'll go front nine question. Front nine question, Mr. Fowlis. Are you pulling up your scores there? Make sure that you can see them. There was on the Instagram, there was a moment where you had a drive where even Johnny said he's aiming slightly right here. And if for anyone who didn't see it, he was aiming, I mean, when you look at it down the line, you're like, yeah, he's aiming way off to the right into the trees. Ball goes straight off into the trees. It was quite comical. Fowlis turns around as if he had no idea of what happened. If you had the video, you'd be like, oh yeah, I was just aiming right.
Yeah.
You then set up for your second one, reload, equally as aiming right as the first one, and blitz that one trees. Now, my question is, there was no blobs for you on the front nine.
Slightly incorrect information. There was a blob on 1 and 8.
Okay, so which hole did that happen on? And what?
That
and how
on
did
hole
you?
Eight.
Okay,
but I did actually find that ball.
Wow. Okay.
Well, this is the thing.
By the way, I'm not accusing you of cheating. I'm just
That's the thing. The first ball I actually did find. Second shot, I put it back into play about 100 yards out. And then this was going to be a comment about my own game. Short game and chipping, brilliant. Long game, apart from that, was okay. My wedge game between 50 and about 120 was the worst I've ever been. Could not control it. But yeah, it was one of those, you know, where I immediately said it after hitting it. You know, when someone's distracted you, you're standing over the ball and it breaks your concentration. Instead of stepping away, I was like, nah, I'm just going to hit it. But I adjusted my feet. So I was then miles offline because I was already aiming offline. I then adjusted to the right again. And then it actually went gun straight. It went, it was an absolute howitzer, went a mile, but went in a straight line. Miles right of the fairway. This is where we've had a dig about people before. I've played this golf course once, couldn't remember it because it was a long time ago. I walked through the trees and it was 20 yards from the tee box of a hole, which was like 2 or 3 holes time. And there were people stood on it. So they were like, yeah, that's your ball just there. Needless to say, like,
sorry.
I could not have apologized anymore. I very quickly pulled out the wedge and got it straight back over the trees and ran off with a tail in between my legs.
That's a good explanation. Thank you. I'm now very excited for Tim's question.
So can you break down for me what your score was on the front nine and what your score was on the back nine, please?
Back nine, we kind of knew that we were losing light. So there was a lot of just like hurried up, just kind of, I guess, almost messing around. There were a couple of holes where it was get that in. But then it turns out we actually did get the full 18 in. Front nine was 47 strokes for a lovely 15 points, which, by the way, was rescued by the birdie on nine because it was a 4-point.
Wow.
Through 8, I got 11 points. So
solid.
It was quite funny. And then on the back nine, it was 49 strokes for 11 points. And I had in that 1, 2, 3, 4 blobs, which is pretty outstanding.
Strong. So my question being what we talked about before is calorie game? Not up to scratch?
No, I think month off. Definitely didn't help. I just honestly could not get a feeling with the wedges at all. I kept myself in play most of the day, but then it was just a case of hitting just awful shots. My first four full swing shots, all four thinned. No idea why. Normally, you know, we've spoken about before, I take a big fat divot. So if anything, my bad shot is going to be a chunk most of the time. Nope, I was coming up way too quick and knifing it through the back.
Amazing. So, which on a cold, blustery day on top of a hill is probably not what you want to be doing.
No.
And just for people who might be listening for the first time or have perhaps missed a previous episode, Ben has said that if people play poorly or worse on the back nine than they do on the front nine, it's like 100% guaranteed to be down to a lack of calories, food or water intake. So hence why we were asking the question why he's fallen to pieces on the back nine.
Scientifically proven as well. But in our next round afterwards, I ate on the back nine and scored better. So it's scientifically proven.
One round.
I can say for sure, and I think you two would testify, that I'm never going to step on a golf course with not enough calories. I may have absolutely no game whatsoever, but I always have food.
Sounds like you need to get those minerals up, son.
Before we move on, can I ask, because I cannot be the only one watching this and thinking the same, what on earth is Chopper?
Say that again?
What on earth is Chopper Gunner?
Chopper Gunner, well, I got a brand new headset and it looks like I'm flying.
I thought it was a
play on words for like Ollie Gunnar Solskjaer or something. That's comedy value that's beyond foul, if I think.
Yeah.
Right. So an inauspicious return to golf, let's say, for Ben at the weekend. Chris, you managed to get out at all? Hit any balls?
Ranged? I absolutely did. And after last week taking the mick out of Fowlis for thinking that he wasn't going to go to the range, I ended up not being able to go to the range. And the golf club we played at on Sunday, me and actually Ben's brother went out with two Sunday Red members, invited us down, and there's no range to warm up on. There's a couple of nets. So really my first proper swing was on the first, in like 5 weeks, whatever it has been, was on the first tee, not warm. It was in fact freezing. I had not done a warm up. But the course we played, Hurtmore, relatively short course, really quite open. I got there. Went onto the RNA website, updated my handicap to see what I was playing off. It came up as 14. So I was playing off 14. And this then makes me laugh because when we got in at the end, I then saw the board outside the club, which tells you what you're playing off. And that told me I was playing off 15. When I went in to update my app, the app told me I should have been playing off 16. So three different sources all telling me I should have been playing off a different handicap, which was really useful. Just an amusing stat to begin with, but played off 14 and somehow managed to score 36 points. So, and that was with two blobs on there as well. So I will say that the fact the course was open absolutely saved me. If off the tee, actually front nine, that's not being fair. Front nine, I was quite consistent. Back nine, off the tee, I was wayward at best. And it wasn't like, oh, you're just hitting a hook and it's going left. It was like the first hole, it was like way left. Next hole, it was like way right. I was like, okay, cool. So there's not going to be a miss on this back nine. It's just going to be, I don't know where I'm going to hit the ball, but it was always findable. And that for me was the key. Anything from 120 yards in, I was giving myself a putt. I was like, I don't know where this game has come from. This has been eluding me all year, but I'm going to absolutely love it. Like, I was just absolutely loving it. And Callum was taking the piss because he said, what yardage do you want? And I was like, 105. And two or three times I had that distance, and he was just like, half pitching wedge. I was like, yep, we're going for it. And just put it within a few feet and had a putt, one putt. I think I hit 30 putts. So I was pleased with
nice
30 putts. So that's short game is what absolutely saved me. So absolutely delighted. Hit a few wild shots, but overall it was, yeah, I was absolutely delighted. So lessons learned is 5 week break, which by the way, I think 36 points might be my best score of the year. So lessons are 5 week break, don't go to the range and don't warm up beforehand. Oh, and I had literally one snack bar, Fowlis, and a mug of coffee and two bottles of water. So I was hydrated, but I definitely wasn't filling up on calories. So I've gone against all the rules of what we talk about in terms of what we should be doing. And I've had a bloody good round. So work that one out.
I'm glad I didn't play the other weekend. I'm not sure how I could stomach going 3-0 down. I'm not going to lie.
excited to get back to the range this week. There's a couple of clear things on the long game that I want to work on. Overall, I was delighted.
Nice. So moral of the story, basically you need to play less golf and eat less. Interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm taking from that for sure.
Okay.
How about you, Timbo?
Yeah. So
Can I just add in?
Yeah.
Played a little W2 match while we were playing, and we were one up on the last hole and we lost the last hole all square. Like, I just very, very rarely have a game that ends all square. And it was just an epic match. Just very enjoyable.
The last match I had that ended all square was actually a match with you, Righty, when we played in Portugal a few years ago. And I absolutely, well, you and I both did our absolute best to lose the match because you sent about two balls out of bounds to the right.
Yeah, I sent one into the
bunker, and I think I actually whiffed in the bunker. Believe it or not.
And then you tried to claim that it doesn't count. And
yeah, good times. Right, yeah. So last Friday was my first actual opportunity to get down to the range, and in classic kind of lockdown person scenario, the first sort of hint of things opening back up again, I was like a Labrador puppy being let off into the world, because I was like, right, Friday, I've got a day off, That means, right, first thing, go to the gym. I haven't been to the gym in about 4 weeks. I'm going to the gym. So I went and did about, I think I did an hour and a half in the gym. Then I went up to do a bit of Christmas shopping. Then I had to do a bit of life admin, which involved going out and doing a bit of house hunting in the afternoon.
Yeah,
which meant that I eventually got to the range at about 5:30 on Friday and feeling remarkably stiff and sore from the gym in the morning and pretty tired, and proceeded to have probably the shittest range session I've had in about 4 years. I didn't really have a plan when I went to the range. I kind of sort of said to myself, you know what, let's just hit balls and see what happens, because, you know, whatever happens, you're not going to be brilliant. So I kind of started off with some half swing wedges, absolutely fine, perfectly, still in touch, all going the same distances they had done beforehand, pretty comfortable. I was like, oh, okay, fine, absolutely fine. I'll start opening this up and go into full swing 7 iron, 6 irons. Disaster. Shanks, tops, hooks. I can't remember the last time I've done this. I two consecutive howitzers into the boundary on the side of the range.
Oh, no.
I remember the last time I did two in a row, but literally like. Now, what I should have done was
step back, walk away.
Either literally just finish my session there, because I said, right, this is no longer good practice, this is just turned to shit. Or I should have just gone back to, right, okay, let's go back to short game, pitching, chipping, just concentrate on that. But then I thought, if I haven't hit balls for 4 weeks, I'm going to just continue on with this.
So you doubled down on the thing that was going shit.
Doubled down, made it worse. So left the range, hugely frustrated. Rankled with me pretty much all of Saturday. But then eventually sort of Saturday night, started thinking, right, stop thinking about, oh, that was shit. Think about why it was shit. And yeah, clearly the day I had was probably not conducive to a great range session. I was tight. I was tired. Thinking back, right, okay, when certain things happen, what does it mean? What am I doing wrong? And figured out balance is probably off, probably leaning too much forward. Your weight's dipping forward. That's generally what promotes sort of off heel or shanks. And then figured, okay, and try and stay on plane a bit more. That's what I've been, that's what my coach has tried to do in the past. So I thought, right, what I'll do, Sunday, I'll get it.
Wait, pause. I have a question.
Yeah.
How long, or maybe at the range, did it take you to watch your first YouTube video of why am I shanking the ball?
I didn't actually watch any YouTube videos. I think I did.
I'm very impressed. I'd have been like this. Hang on, why am I doing this?
I think I might have had one panic Google of something like,
I've sent 2 hours as into.
I think I might have Googled something like, does overusing wrists promote a shank, or something like that. Which is brilliant, because I was already misdiagnosing what I was doing wrong. So
yeah. Yeah, trying to diagnose it could be completely
misdiagnosing my own problems. But yeah, so Saturday had a bit of a thing. Right, let's just think about this. What in the past, generally when you've had this, what have you been doing wrong? Have you fixed it? And then went back Sunday morning, thought, right, okay, focus on the balance, focus on tempo, think about swing plane, and tons better. So I actually messaged the boy saying, good news, I actually can hit a golf ball again. So all is kind of well. I mean, I'm not saying it was like a gold standard range session, but it was much more like it on Sunday. So just a couple of morals of the story there. Firstly, if you're having an absolute shit show like that on the range, honestly, just either change to pitching or chipping or something that you can be comfortable with, or just stop. Literally, because otherwise
I have only once. I've only once walked off with balls left in the tray, thinking I'm just going to get angrier and angrier and angrier if I stay. Yeah. But I can definitely vouch that if you're having a shocker, playing more is not always the solution.
Not the way. No, it's not the answer. But so I managed to finish it on a bit more positive session on Sunday. So yeah, I was pretty happy with that. All being told, and. Yeah, going to get out on the course this Sunday. I've got an 11 a.m. round at Ilford Golf Club on Sunday, which I'm looking forward to.
Amazing.
I will also be there.
Oh, are you joining? Oh, excellent. I wasn't sure if you were joining or not. Good stuff.
I am not. Devastated.
What? Because it's anyone an hour and a half drive. You are so selfish.
If anyone wants to take pity on me and invite me for a round.
Fair. Well, speaking of upcoming rounds, obviously, we're very, very much into winter golf at the moment. So we've been having a bit of a think, and I set the boys a bit of a challenge for this week. Thinking about, right, we haven't talked about our dream golf club for quite a long time. Okay. Now I want to take the dream golf club in a slightly different direction this week, which is, what would our alternative winter rules be for playing at our golf club? Chris, I'm going to come to you on this one first. Now, I did say, feel free to be as loose and renegade on these rules as you want. So all bets are off. Oh, I'm really excited to see where your head's gone with this.
I've got three. Is that right?
That's fine.
Should I go for all three? I'll go for my favorite first, I think. Especially when cold, this is, for me, is essential. On holes 6 and 12, I would like there to be complimentary mulled wine or cider. That is just one. That's just one rule that I want to bring in. I'm not sure if that's a rule. Maybe that's just something I want to bring in.
I will jump in. Bletchingly, that was excellent at the weekend. That was a lovely touch, because they had mulled wine, cider, or whiskey on the first, and it's the same hut. So on the first, as you pass back through to tee off on the back nine, you can quickly nip in and get.
Oh, I love that. Winning.
And you've got added hot chocolate, coffee, stuff like that. But yeah, okay, fine. I thought, so, we all got there. We're like, this is brilliant.
Sorry, did you just say you got hot chocolate?
No, I didn't.
That would have been classic Fowlis. Even your brother the other day, straight after the round, can I have a hot chocolate, please? I was like, what is it with the Fowlis brothers and the hot chocolates? Does the bloody love a hot chocolate? So anyway, that was one just, I think that should be, okay. I'm not sure it's a rule, should be thrown in. But my actual winter rules, I've got two that will fit in here. So this won't often happen, but has happened to us as a group. It's absolutely Baltic. We head out probably earlier than we should do. The ground is still frozen. And we all know that shot, first, second, third hole, the ground hasn't thawed. You hit your shot, you think that's a worldie. It heads straight for the green, hits the green and goes 50 feet in the air, miles off the back, just bounced like it's bounced off concrete. Right, we've all probably experienced one of those. So my rule is, if you go out in the conditions are like that and you hit an approach shot, it bounces on the green and obviously it's bounced off a cart path, flies miles in the air, you get to drop where the ball landed on the green, because you shouldn't be penalized for a good shot, in my opinion. So that would be the first one. That would be, so, because I think twice I've done it in the past where, and it's been lost ball, and I'm like, oh, I've actually hit it to like 10 feet in front of the pin, and it's 40 feet off the back. That's not fair. So that's a one that I would do. I'd do a free drop where the ball had landed. You'd obviously just have to make sure you were looking where it went. But then my second rule is an adjustment to your handicap based on temperature. So if it is below 5 degrees, you get two extra shots.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's getting cold. Because I hate the cold, so I was happy.
Well, my thought process being is, well done for being out. So you should get a little reward for being out in the bloody cold. And you are the work as well, like the clubs will not be as flexible, the ball will not bounce or rebound or whatever you call it as much. Then you're looking at me confused.
Yeah, and also I was going to butt in and say, everyone's hit a knifed or a thinned shot in the freezing cold. The second shot, your hands are normally still ringing, so I kind of feel like that's not likely to produce a good shot the next one either, is it? So
yeah, exactly. So for this, so crazy, but I felt like two shots was a suitable bonus for playing in weather under 5 degrees centigrade.
Okay, yeah, I'm personally happy with all of those. I'm happy to instill these as gospel into our dream golf club. Benjamin,
right, first one, I'm kind of going to echo Chris a little bit, but I'm also stealing an idea from, I don't know whether you saw it on social media this week, Michael Jordan's course, his new one, The Grove 23. So instead of cart buggies, they have drones. And you have an app on your phone, which you basically order what you like and you tell them what hole you're on. Back at the clubhouse, they have drones that have these.
Wait. How's this a winter rule?
Yeah.
I'm going for the whole golf course. I don't care whether
it's nothing to do with play. It's just hospitality.
Absolutely relevant, I feel. If we're making a winter base, the menu but changes to mold wine and ciders.
You've not read the question. You've just seen something really exciting that you want to impinge.
I'm getting that on a golf course.
This is like when you do an exam or a test at school and they say, you've answered this really, really nicely, but you've not answered the question I asked you.
Love the idea. Well, you've not answered the question.
You butted in. I've got, look, it provides hot beverages, other drinks, and hot.
Oh, okay, sure.
There you go. Winter relevant now.
All right.
Malt wine as well. How about that?
Sure.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it on social media, go and check it out. It looks flipping cool. It's such a good idea. Right, three kind of proper winter rules. I can't remember where it was, but it was no playing in the bunkers because they're wet and cakey and claggy. A bunker's a hazard. That's why it's there. You're playing in every single bunker. Yes, you can move it if it's sat on the water, but it's part of the game. It's a skill, so you've got to play out the bunker. Big thing after this weekend, temporary tee boxes are just not a thing. We've got magic growing grass on our golf course that it actually grows throughout the winter because, honestly, the tee boxes the other day, I struggled with my foot in anyway. You get me on what feels like an ice rink and you're trying to hit a driver. I was dancing all over the place a lot of the time the other day, particularly those raised ones that were on like a weird platform so yeah. They don't get all boggy and wet. That then got in my head because it's that completely, I don't know, just messes up with my rhythm. And then final one is something we've spoken about before, Tim. It's something we've done actually when we're out on the course. I've called it leaf balls. So it's at the discretion of your playing partners. If you hit a good drive, and as much as our course has pine trees as the main tree, there may still be leaves floating around from elsewhere. If they're sat in kind of the rough, you hit a good tee shot. I had one the other day. I thought it would be fine. It was a little bit right at the fairway, but it would have any other course or middle of summer, you'd be able to find it. But they were just because it was underneath trees. Obviously, the trees have completely downpoured, leaves were everywhere. Couldn't find the ball. So, it's at the discretion of your playing partner, but they can give you a free drop or not if you've lost the ball to the leaves.
I like that. There was a clip on social media this week of a guy out with a leaf blower and he's like, I've lost my ball, and just gets the leaf blower out and he's like, yep, there it is, found it. We don't all have access to a leaf blower attached to our bags. So yeah, I think this happens all too often in winter. And I think it can absolutely, like, you have two or three of that happening around and you're just like, oh, I'm fed up. I just don't want to play. Yeah.
I mean, I kind of took it on the chin at the weekend because it was, in the tree line, so it would have been difficult.
I think
really I would have found it normally, but it was just one of those. I can't really ask for a free drop with that.
I think really you in competition that would be hard to bring in because I'd be like, well, no, you're not getting one. Like I want to beat you. But yeah, in definitely in like friendly games, 100%.
Yeah, because my kind of idea is even kind of competition against each other. It's I don't want to see my mates pissed off. I want to see them playing good golf. And I want to be able to beat you playing whilst you're playing good golf. Because things like that, it's just annoying. And then that gets in your head for a hole and it starts to tail off, doesn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Love it. Timbo.
So I've got two serious ones and two not so serious ones. My first one, literally the same as fallacies. I just called it the benefit of the doubt rule. Discretionary, if someone's hit a tee shot that's objectively a good tee shot, but then you can't find the ball, discretion of playing partners to say, mate, I know for a fact your ball would not have been lost. Just pop it down. I think it would come down about there, pop it down, because absolutely agree. You're playing in winter, it's challenging enough. If you've hit a decent shot, you shouldn't be punished just because there are a shitload of leaves on the course or whatnot. So I call it the benefit of the doubt rule. Second one, which might be a bit controversial, I'm gonna go with it anyway. No trolleys in winter.
For what reason?
No shots. Yeah.
I honestly believe trolleys still cut up the course. I know there are winter wheels that you can do, but it cuts up the course. There's no two ways about it. I also think it actually slows play down. The amount of times people are kind of trudging and pushing the trolleys through or struggling with it up the hill. Lob the bag on your back, just walk. It's quicker. It'll keep you warmer. No trolley.
Jump in here. Also, the first time this weekend that I haven't used a trolley and that I've carried. So another...
Well, imagine if you'd use a trolley, mate. That's five shots.
I'd have 41 points.
Yeah, exactly.
So obviously Ben isn't having that, but I don't care because these are my rules. Right, the next two are slightly jokey, but slightly not. The first one I thought about, which was after you've hit a drive, and you're allowed to do this on one hole in your round, if you've hit a good drive, you can nominate that for the rest of that hole. You will play without cleaning or placing your ball for the remainder of that hole. But whatever score you get, you shave one or maybe 2 points off it. Probably just one, because I don't want people abusing it on a par three. But the idea being that kind of it's the arrogance of I don't even need to clean my ball and I'll still score well. So I quite like the idea.
We could call that arrogance. That's what the game will be called. Arrogance. It's called arrogance. Okay.
But also, if you've managed to hit a ball that's slap bang in the middle of the fairway and you're playing against someone who's maybe just off in the rough and they definitely need to pick and place, then it's the arrogance of being like, mate, you hit the ball in the fairway, you don't need to do that. So I just thought,
what happens if so the risk is your next shot's plugged, then what happens?
Correct.
You can't pick it out of the, you're on the fairway, but you can't pick it out? Like, what are we saying?
Yeah, exactly. So you hit your tee shot and you've seen it like land on the fairway and you go, right, I'm going to use this hole as my arrogance hole. So the rest of the hole, I'm not going to pick or place for the rest of this hole, and I'm going to get, and whatever score I get, I'm going to take one shot off it.
I would literally never play that card. mainly because I'd never be on the fairway.
Well, maybe it's two shots then.
I also think like mud balls are an absolute nightmare. Like pick and place is just a given. I didn't even bother speaking about it because
like imagine getting up to that.
Mud ball was caked in mud, and we saw it at Augusta recently how much havoc it caused. And I don't think I would ever play the card just based on the fact that
you two would play arrogant. You two would be rubbish at the arrogance.
imagine getting up to your putt, right? Even if you'd hit, so you've hit a par four and you've gone fairway onto the green, and you walk onto the green and your ball's got this big clump of mud in it, and you're like, that's putting ruined. You're in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah, but if you sink it and you get two shots taken off, you look like an absolute hero.
Hero, yeah, you do. I'm not brave enough.
Arrogance.
I'm not arrogant enough.
And the final one is a punishment one, actually, which...
What, because playing in the freezing condition isn't punishing enough?
No. If you arrive late for your tea time, heinous crime, you have to wear shoes with no grip.
Wow. Okay. What are we considering late? I.e. you've missed your tea time.
You're late.
Yeah, but as in your tea time is at 10 a.m. and you're there at 10:05. So if
you'll go out, fine. But you're playing the front nine in no grip shoes.
Fine.
Don't be late. I don't own a car, and my one source of a lift at the moment is habitually late. He is late to everything, ever.
Get a car. It's worth it.
I would be risking it every week of that. I'm already struggling enough as it is.
So there we go. There we have it. Those are our all winter rules.
I like those.
Let us know on the group or in the chat if there's anything you think we've just absolutely missed, or if we're actually onto something that's a genius idea. I think we definitely have got some genius ideas there, obviously.
And can we all just appreciate that Phallus is drones? He's not answered the question. Just, you can leave that.
We can wrap in tinsel and playing Christmas songs if you want.
Tinsel on drones. Can you imagine the mayhem when he all gets caught up in the rotors? What's wrong with you?
Press it up like Santa's sleigh. I don't know.
Right. You two, stop squabbling because we need to move on. Right. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about, potentially one of my favorite subjects in the world. Now, this is one direction we could have gone with this. I've put the question out there. If I was to give you a £100 golf voucher, how would you spend it? Now, I'm just going to put it out there. I didn't give any sort of conditions on what this could be spent on. So the boys had absolute free reign to go wherever they want with this. I personally have gone exclusively with gears, as you might have all been able to predict. Okay. And you know what? I'm going to take this one on first. Just because I've let you two go first on everything else so far. So £100 golf voucher. Basically, the way I've looked at this is it's almost like a Christmas gift guide, if you like. You're welcome out there. Cool things you can order.
We'll turn this into a blog.
Commentary. Now, I was going to say something which I've actually doubled back on and I've had to remove. So I was originally just going to go whole hog and say, you know what, just get me the Vice Adidas shoes. I know they're 220 quid, but whatever, I'll pay the £220. If you've not seen these,
they're awful.
They're
fantastic.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful shoes. And the attention to detail is awesome because they've even got patterned on them. It's the outlines of Whistling Straits, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So attention to detail is awesome. Yeah. They just look sexy.
Bit of a disaster with their launch. Mainly due to the shoes looking absolutely freaking awesome. They had such a rush of people going onto their website to try and buy the site. And by the time anyone could get back on, they're all sold out. So also they were 220 quid, which just felt a bit $220 in the States, 220 quid in the UK. Mm. I was like, that's not quite fair. But anyway, who's to moan? They were sold out within minutes.
I don't think you're missing out on a whole lot.
Do you know what? Like, this is one of the few. So normally when I show golf items to my wife and I'm like, what do you reckon? Am I going to look like a tit or do you reckon these look good? And she was like, this might be the first time you show me something that I actually think you should get. Yeah, amazing. Okay. Right. Get on there and try and buy.
No. they're all gone. So they actually aren't on the list. So I've got three things. Now between them, they actually might add up to about £105. So don't hate me. Okay. The first thing was I've been on the Random Golf Club website and shop. Sure.
Bit of EAL. We like a bit of Eric.
Obviously love a bit of EAL. There is the Random Golf Club trademark jacket currently available for about $70. It's a navy waterproof jobby. It's also got a hood on it, so it actually sort of it's a mock hoodie at the same time. Lovely bit of emblazoned RGC on the back of
it.
Lovely touch. That retails, yeah, like I said, $70. So I would
60 quid, no, 55.
58-ish quid.
Let's say 55 and save your 5 quid from going over 100.
I like your chat. The second thing, and I'm not actually sure if this company has their own website, but I stumbled across them early today. They're called MW Golf Designs, and they basically design head covers. And what I would like from them is they have a set of Hawaiian patterned club head covers for drivers, three woods, hybrids. Go check them out. I think I found them on Etsy. I'm just doing a plug for them. I think I found them on Etsy earlier today, but I just love the idea of some really, really Larry Renegade club head covers.
Wait, how many are you getting? How much are they?
To be fair, I think I could only get one because I think they're £30 per cover. So I just go and get the driver cover on that one.
Yeah, nice.
And then the final thing I'm going to talk about, which is something I've been banging on to these two about for about 3 weeks now. It's a website called Golfers Paradise, and they do style.
I knew
I was going there. Check it out again. So the website is Golfers Paradise, and effectively they do stylized prints of like iconic golf moments. So you've got like Tiger's first Masters win, or you got Seve at, is it the Open? Can't remember. But anyway, they're stylized prints on sweatshirts. I would personally go for the Seve grey pullover.
You're going on a top.
Yeah, I'm literally turning up. What I would do, turning up to the course, grey jumper, Seve picture on the front of it. It's not a picture. It's more, as I say, stylized image.
Embroidered.
Nice little, nice little polo shirt underneath, set of gold trousers. I think you look awesome.
I kind of echo that. I think I would get the Sevi one if I were to get one, and it does look good. I do like it.
Nice.
So there you go. That is, I think it's $30. So that's probably around.
Oh, okay.
That converts to like 24 sure. quid. By fast maths, I've definitely gone over the budget, but I just want to talk about these products because I just think they're awesome. Go check them out. But that's just me. So I've obviously gone exclusively Gears. I have no idea what these guys are going to come up with. They've not told me anything. So let's go to Ben.
Okay, so I went down the route of kind of not similar to what you did, Tim, and this is going to help absolutely no one in any way, shape, or form of Christmas gift ideas. But after this weekend's round, I decided to go and get a lesson. And yeah, it was amazing. That bad. I'm kind of like, right, let's go and fix this. Or if I were to buy an object, because it's always quite nice to go shopping, I would not be able to buy it outright, but I'd definitely look to get a new putter. So the putter I got at the time, it was still fairly new to golf. Didn't realize that you could get a fit in. I picked up the putter, hit three putts. They went in. I was like, oh, this is pretty good. So went to the till, bought it. A few years down the line, realized the way I putt, my putting stroke doesn't actually match up to it. But I had an unfortunate collision with a cart path at one point, and the shaft was a bit bent. So I feel like it's time for an investment in a putter. That will be my next purchase anyway. But if I had 100 quid, it would definitely go towards that. Yeah.
Nice. So you're basically taking the voucher and putting it towards a putter, is basically what you're...
Yeah. And lessons.
Or
and
lessons. Lessons. Yeah, it's one or the other.
We're fine. Really easy from you. Yeah.
Very easy. All right, fine. A man of simple choices. That's actually fine. You do you. Chris, what do you think?
So I thought, you know what? I'm going to try and be different here. I'm going to try and pick three things that you wouldn't normally go for. Turns out, not as original as I thought. The first thing I'm going for is a driver head cover
not from MW Golf Designs.
Not from MW Golf Designs. However, I think there are. I'm going to have a look at MW Golf Designs. There's two or three brands that I've seen, two in the States, one in the UK, who they're not your standard golf head covers. And actually, I've actually talked to one of the companies about doing not necessarily Sunday Red, but maybe Sunday Red, some for our own designs. I love them. They look fantastic. They're just very new. They're modern. They're not the old school ones that everybody has always done. One example is I don't know how to say it. KCAYCE. They've got a driver cover that just says hit bombs. I'm like, absolutely love it. That is. I was like, I need to buy that for Fowlis. That would be straight on his bag. They've also got some really cool Tiger designs, but. And then the UK company Golf Team Clothing, I think they've clearly changed business model because they obviously used to supply like clothing and now they've mainly gone to the accessory space. But they've got some pretty funky designs as well. None that make me jump out and go, I need this in my life right now. But there's a couple on there that I would happily have on the bag. I just think it's a really good to personalize your bag and not just have the standard Callaway or TaylorMade head covers. So I would definitely go with a head cover, and I would say that came out 45 quid for the ones that I'm looking at.
For one head cover?
For one head cover.
Wow.
For the driver head cover. But you said yours were $35?
Right?
30. Okay, fine. I'll share a link. You'll be like, okay, like these. promise, you'll like them. Then next up, again, thought I was being quite different here. I went for not quite Prince on a top, but I also really like, I didn't go for Golfers Paradise. I've gone somewhere on Etsy, Print Studio, I think it was called. But I'd like a nice print to go up on the wall. And I couldn't decide from whether a like event, like a Tiger moment or just a backdrop of a course. They all look incredible. I could spend hours on these pages just going, looking through and end up not buying any because of not being able to pick one. But I'd go for one of those, and they were 26 quid for an A3 print. So I was like, that's pretty good. Do that. And then I was like, okay, so I've got like £29 left here. How am I going to spend this? And like, I'm umming and ahhing about this one because this is something that I think you should only now, I'm thinking you should only really have if you've been to the event. And so for that reason, I might rub it off, but I quite like the idea of having, basically I want like all of stash, like random trinkets and stuff from the golf world. And I'd quite like a flag from one of like the Open or the PGA Championship. Harding Park logo on the flag was a really cool flag. So I'd go and get the replica flags, and they range from about 20 to 35 quid. So I'd find one that fit in the budget, or if I wanted one that was 35 quid, I'd grab that one.
I fully join you on the wanting memorabilia and stash just to sit in different places in the office. But I do think flags, or if you were to get a hat, you're going to have to get, you're going to have to have been there.
Yeah, and I think that's the case. And we've definitely just lost Tim. Tim's just disappeared. He's had enough. He's off. It looks like we're still recording. We'll keep going.
I'll take over Tim's role. Yeah. What's going to be your alternative, mate?
Yeah, I don't, with 30 quid, I'm not sure. So I then started looking around at like some cool, like quite nice, like ball markers, scorecard holders. But again, I was like, I don't, you know, scorecard holders, is he coming back? He's back. Hang on. I've got to bring him back in. And he's Timbo's back. We carried on. We're still going. Where did you get to, Timbo? I was basically saying the flag option of like the Open or the PGA Championship at Harding Park. I think they would look really good. I'm now just edging on the side of, I think you would have had to have been and watched the event to have one of those, but then again, they are really nice, and I'd probably still get one. But yeah,
I like
or
that.
Especially if you can get it signed, but you definitely couldn't get it signed for £29 of left in my budget.
Okay, I like those. Yeah, I've got a lot of time for those.
Okay,
interesting.
Just something a bit different. Like everyone, I was basically thinking, you know, when someone says like, "Oh, you like golf, therefore everything we buy you for Christmas, birthdays will be," you know, a box of balls or whatever. I was like, what would I want that's a bit different, but still golf? It's basically the route that I was going.
And also, nice. I don't know if you feel the same way now, but it's got to a stage where clothing-wise, I've kind of got what I want. And then because we've played enough, I kind of...
can never have clothing.
I never have that.
I quite like specific stuff. So like golf balls. If someone were to buy me golf balls, I'd be a bit like, yeah, they're nice, but...
I don't use them.
Thanks. Okay. And you don't really want to upset people. Whereas artwork, brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good point. Well, that was really useful. And half the reason I asked the question was I actually do have a £100 voucher. So I was actually looking for an idea to spend it on. So you've given me some really nice ideas. Thanks very much for that. So
I'll send you the link.
Send me the links and I'll see if I can get involved. So that is very, very useful. I'm so excited about what we're going to come on and talk about now. So for those of you who listened to our last podcast, you'll be aware that I set the boys challenge, which was called the £10 challenge. Now, the challenge was to get out there into whether it be car boot sales, people you know, online vendors. I wanted to find, in your opinion, the best or your favorite club you can find for no more than £10.
Yeah. When so you just said the best club you could find,
mine isn't. I can tell you that already. So I did ask that we all had said clubs ready in time for this week. Does everybody have their clubs?
Yep.
Fantastic. Right. I'm just gonna bring mine into view.
Watch that shelf behind you.
And try not to knock down my house while I'm doing it. So what I've bought is it's a Sundridge Technic long distance mid-size driver.
Which apparently has got a, wait, does it say one or does it say driver?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a one. One wood.
Okay.
Yeah.
A one metal.
Apparently, it's got a boron shaft, which made me laugh because the last time I heard anyone talk about boron was when I was watching Chernobyl. So, all I can think of is I'm going to send some absolutely nuclear shots to this. Now, apparently, this is mid-size. This is mid-size. I can almost fit this in my hand.
And you've got small hands.
And I've got small hands. So, yeah. I picked out this artifact.
Many idea old.
So it says 90 on the handle. So it might be a 1990. We would make it obviously 30 years old.
Yeah, I think that looks about right.
I've not hit a ball with it yet. So I'm not really sure how it's going to go. It's giving me the weight of it on the club head, which is interesting. And I just like I'm the confident. Fact that it's
cool. I'm just going to say, I'm confident that you will do better hitting that I'm about to show.
I mean, so I'll be honest, that the two reasons I chose it was firstly because I found the fact it had a boron shaft really funny. and because I could do the nuclear pun. And also the fact that it's got Technic written in really futuristic writing on the top of it, because it's a very futuristic, definitely not futuristic looking golf club.
I love it.
So when are you testing it out and comparing it to your current disco stick?
I'm either planning on testing it out tomorrow night or Friday when I go to the range. And
we have to video this, right? We have to video the shots.
Yeah. That's fine. I'll send some content. But I will get out right now. I am remarkably unconfident about hitting this.
I'm just not surprised. It looks pretty special.
Yeah. It's a bit of an artifact.
It doesn't look like it would have been top of the line. A real market back in the 90s, let alone in 2020.
It's like Fred Flintstone would play with it. Right, anyway, that's what I found.
I like it. Well done.
I am going to come to Ben.
Okay, so I had a pretty good week with this because I was still at my parents when we recorded the last podcast. So I jumped on eBay, did a bunch of looking, wasn't really too sure where I wanted to go, whether to get an iron or wedge. In the end, I settled on a driver because I saw TaylorMade and I saw the price. I was like, brilliant, this, you know, it's bound to be pretty good. It was probably pretty good at the time. I placed the order and then kind of went downstairs, told my parents about this, and my old man was like, oh, I've still got my set from back when I was a boy in the garage. So we went down to the garage and pulled out the driver from there. So not only have I got a 2001 TaylorMade, the first in the R series, so you know the R7 quad, the R9 and all of that. It's the first model, which is a 320cc, 9.5 degree, and what can only be described as, I don't know, like a noodle flex shaft. It is like an elastic band. Honestly.
For the numpty in the room here, what on earth does 320cc mean?
So look at the size of it. It's tiny. So my current driver that I'm playing is a 2016 Ping. It's 460cc.
But what is that? Do we actually know what that means? Or is that the size?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Centimeters or something?
You were just... proving that we actually know nothing about this subject that we're trying to talk about.
I know, based on comparison, this being 320cc in terms of overall size versus my 460, it's tiny.
If you are listening to this podcast right now, I am recording this as a video because we thought that actually this would be quite good to see the clubs that we found. I'll put it on YouTube or on the Facebook group or on the Facebook page so that you can actually see what we're looking at. So if you're thinking these all sound great, but I want to see them, head on over to one of those places and you'll be able to see the video.
So this is the 2001 TaylorMade that I bought for £7.50, no less.
Amazing.
It's, bear in mind, it's obviously, it's 2001, so 19 years old. It's a 9.5 degree, and the flex, as I just showed, it's like an elastic band. My driver, significantly bigger. I play an 8 degree driver, a lot less loft.
You play an 8 degree driver?
I do indeed.
What? I did not know that. Who do you think you are, Bryson?
And then also, my driver's got a stiff shaft. This is.
Are you good enough to hit an 8 degree driver?
I hit bombs. Don't worry about that. Anyway, that's my 2001. I'm expecting this to be awful in terms of the dispersion because, like I said, I'm used to playing stiff shaft. That's going to be all over the place. Now, this one on research, I am guesstimating.
This is glorious.
1978 and 1975. Oh my God. It is beautiful.
Has that ever been used? It looks brand new.
It has. When you look at the face, it is that old. It has got genuine screws in the face.
Yeah, that's incredible.
The screws on it.
That's in beautiful condition. Look at it.
Well, this is the one I went down to my old man. I was like, are you sure? He was like, yeah, take it. You know, it's not been used in like 20 years. So I reckon that's from 78, 79. It's a McGregor Jack Nicklaus Golden Master. So it was just around the turn where Nicklaus took them over. And it genuinely has the original grip on it as well. So there's not a lot left of it. So I now have at least a 41-year-old driver, a 19-year-old driver, and then I'm going to be able to compare it to my 2020. Now, this is kind of the jumping around the rule because I did get this for free because it is my old band's. But I just figured this will be fun to have in the bag anyway as a forfeit, like as a bet tool on the golf course, because it is a wooden driver and it is tiny. It feels they're the same length shaft as my current driver.
Put it in the palm of your hand.
Times longer.
Oh.
And this, so bear in mind, this is the 320 in comparison. So it's tiny. I mean, it's the size of, I probably would say most five woods now are currently kind of definitely bigger in terms of length, not necessarily in terms of height, but I figured that would be fun to get out on the course and then get mates to use as bets and stuff like that. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that thing goes because I've got a feeling it's going absolutely nowhere in comparison.
No, I think if you hit it out the screws, I think it'll go.
And that is where the saying comes from because as you said, there's literal screws in the face, which I did not know until I saw Golf Club.
I imagine if you hit it on the screws, it's a bit, the screw's sticking out a bit.
But that's, you know, my problem's always been kind of control and keeping balance and stuff in the golf swing. And the grip fills me with a little bit of concern because as you can imagine, with it being 40 years old, there's not a lot of it left and it's not that tacky. So I might genuinely try and get it re-gripped in American Golf for the purpose of shenanigans. Yeah.
I love it. I cannot believe that from what it looks like that you've shown us there, the condition that club is in. It looks amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
That's the kind of thing I want on my shelf of golf random stuff. I would literally have that on the shelf.
I have that above the mantelpiece.
Yeah. That is glorious. It,
so
maybe turn it into a trophy.
Ooh.
Nah.
He's already attached to it.
He's already attached to it.
That needs to be gamed. I'm telling you, that needs to be a gamer. That needs to be out on the court, flying through.
Hold that thought because you might want to, when you see what I've got here, you might want to rethink your strategy of that being used as the forfeit club. Okay. So I did a lot of eBaying and then messaged my old man and my father-in-law. I was like, do you happen to have any old clubs lying around? Father-in-law had a set hidden away in the garage. And here, you ready for this? Here is what we found. I don't know the date of this. So if one of you wants to Google as I read this out, but I couldn't find, I found the same clubs. This is how I know that it fits within the tenor. I found the same clubs, but three of them on eBay for buy it now for a $13.99. So I know one of them would comfortably be in my tenner.
Right.
Maybe £4.50 for this. And they were all in much better condition than the one that I'm holding is. So I have...
Oh, this must be cack.
So I have a Slazen Jackbox. One wood. I don't know if you can see that.
Oh my God.
And it is absolutely that looks like it's taken to a few cart paths as well. So this is what we're working with. Where are we? Slazenger 1. There we go. Champion. Jack Nicklaus.
That it certainly is not a champion.
So when you say, and as you can see, the shaft is pretty rusted. There was some stickers on here. There's remnants of stickers on here. Can't see what those actually say. It says made in England. I can see that. And yeah, the grip definitely is the original grip, and there is nothing on that whatsoever. And also, that's the club that I will use. But also in the bag, there is the equivalent forward, which is I would risk not hitting the ball. Like, that is absolutely tiny. There's chunks missing out of this, the face of this one as well. Just random bits missing. But I like that I've got Jack Nicklaus' signature looking back at me while I'm teeing up the ball.
So, it'll be interesting where they go on the range in comparison to your current set.
I'm going to predict better. I reckon better.
No idea on the
flex of this shaft. But yeah, I mean, the rust is slightly worrying, because if this, I mean, it feels like it could snap. But yeah, that's what I've brought to the table. So I've got a Slazenger Champion 1 Jack Nicklaus. I would probably date similar to the one that you had there, Ben.
Yeah.
It's proper wood. It's properly wood.
Yeah.
I mean, this should be the forfeit club. Just throwing it out there.
Yeah. Tested. Desperate.
That really is a relic.
Yeah, but I reckon that is a $4.99. I reckon even if I paid him $4.99, I'd be overpaying for this. So if it was in mint condition, sure, different story. But yeah, I'll test out both the 1 and the 4 that I've got here to play around with.
Okay, so important question is, when are we going to be able to report back on next week's pod how we've gone with these?
100%. I will get the videos. In fact, I was about to say we could put them on here. I definitely can put them on here, but then that obviously is useless for anyone listening.
Yeah,
we'll think of some way around that.
Yeah. So I'm going to go out on a limb saying this one is going to come with me to the driving range. It's not going in my bag for Sunday. No chance.
You don't know. Might be better.
Could be better. I mean, it wouldn't be.
I've only got 13 clubs in my bag, so I can legally get one of these in as a 14. I'm testing them Friday night. I am going with someone to the range, but we can definitely have some fun with all three and get some numbers on them.
Excellent.
There we go.
I mean, like we said last time, I mean, there is a semi-serious point to all of this. Obviously, this is all a bit of fun, and, you know, finding the weirdest, oldest, most ridiculous clubs we can. But there is a bit of a point to this, which is obviously, if you are an average player, an average hacker like we are, it'd be interesting to see what level of difference you genuinely get from a modern day club over something that you might be able to pick up, you know, on eBay or Gumtree. I'm not saying you go as far back as we've gone.
I mean, so if this goes anywhere near.
You won't with Chris's. You just won't. It's a fact.
This goes anywhere near what my car
But you know what? With Christmas coming up, you may be better off looking at a decent set of irons you can get either secondhand in an American Golf or on eBay or Gumtree, Golf Bidder, whatever it is, at our level. So, and again, we'd love to hear if anyone has trialed this out whilst we're doing this. So if you've got old clubs, maybe let's say you've got a 7-iron that was, or a pitching wedge that was handed down to you from someone in your family, let us know if that's different to a modern day pitching wedge or something else you've got in your bag. Do you keep one old club in your bag just because you love it so much? You know, let us know. Drop us a line on the socials or on the group, wherever you want to get in touch with us, because we'd love to know. So there is a semi-serious undertone to what we're doing, but I can confidently predict that there's going to be chaos with us trying to use these clubs we go to the range this week.
Honestly, I can see this turning into some form of Top Gear challenge very quickly. So I'm excited for this. This is a great challenge, Tim. Absolutely love it. Excited for it.
We will commit. I mean, I'm going to speak on behalf of you two. I think we will commit at some point to around in the next few months whereby we were, because we've all got drivers, right?
Yeah.
So we will commit to around in the next few months where we leave our regular drivers at home and we will only take these. I think, are we happy to commit to that?
I mean, you two are substantially better clubs than me, but yeah, sure. I'll commit to that.
Excellent. Well, we'll see how we get on and we'll report back accordingly. That almost wraps us up. There's this one thing I wanted to sort of put out this week of all weeks. I did just want to get a slight nod out there to the big man, Peter Alice, who very, very sadly passed away in the last week. Obviously, there's been a ton of obituaries and loads of things written, so they will do a far better and more eloquent job than I will ever be able to. But what I was going to say, it was quite interesting that for those of you that listened to the start, that you'll know that I only really picked up golf maybe 3-4 years ago, but I still feel that Peter Alice was kind of like a voice that somehow I kind of grew up being familiar with or kind of hearing in sports commentary.
Whenever you hear the highlights, even if you just go back and watch something, the voice is always there, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Just an absolute legend of the game and the breadth of people within the game of golf who've sort of been sort of sharing their fond memories this week has been quite telling of how awesome he was. So just always worth this week just getting that nod in there, because just a huge character and very sad.
Agreed.
That pretty much brings us full circle to the end of this episode. Anything more from you chaps?
One thing, all I'll say, mainly because me and you are repping them, the new caps are out. A load of people have got them, and do you know what? Two people have asked me what Tour Gear's Tim's reviews were going to be. We were nervous. Is it a positive or a negative review from Tour Gear's Tim?
I mean, I'm wearing it. No, it's absolutely positive. It's a great fit. It's two thumbs up from Tour Gear's Tim. Yeah, absolutely good stuff. Get in touch if you want to get your hands on one.
Absolutely. And that is it all from me for now.
That is it. All right. Thank you very much for listening once again. And we'll see you on the next pod. Cheers.
See
you. Catch you later.
Thank you so much for listening. If you've enjoyed this, please subscribe and leave us a review. It massively helps us out. To join us in a growing community of like-minded golfers, whether we're hackers, shankers, or anyone just loves the game, sign on up to Sunday Red Golf at sundayredgolf.co.uk. And also, if you want the best way to create competitions and even your very own race to Dubai, check out Tour Champ at tourchamp.co.